We are hot. We are live. We are on the wire.
Huzzah.
Did you do your 15 lines of coke legally? Because I know I did. Hey-o.
I don't know that.
No, I didn't. We don't do that. What drugs? What drugs?
What
no,
are
really,
drugs?
What drugs?
It's fine.
Welcome, everyone, to Wubba Lubba Pod Pod. I'm Josh.
I'm Alex.
And you're Alex.
Yeah.
And today on Wubba Lubba Pod Pod, it's a special bonus episode. We're going to talk about the opening sequence of season one of Rick and Morty.
Huzzah. Very special.
Are you ready?
Very. Yeah, I am ready.
Bonus episode.
Woo.
But, you know, first we have to do the obligatory thing where we talk for 10 minutes about other random bullshit.
Oh, right.
But I think we kind of got that out of the way before off camera, didn't we?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought maybe we can explain why are we doing this. Do you know why?
Yeah, do that. I don't have a clue why. I would love it if you explained it to me.
Well, just because every season, the opening credits change a little bit. Some of the scenes change, uh-huh. Not all of them. And I always uh-huh. thought it'd be cool to make a little analysis every end of the season of the respective opening credits. So this is, since we just finished
great.
Recording and launching season one of Wubba Lubba Pod Pod, season one of Rick and Morty, now it's time to...
I'll go with launching.
Launching.
I like launching.
Launch.
Yeah. It's like a rocket.
Yeah.
It's erect. It goes up into outer space and it goes boom. Like God's penis.
No! Hey!
Have you seen the pictures of the Christmas lights on the palm trees?
No. What?
Well, it looks like a huge dick jizzing into the air.
Oh, no.
Because it's a palm tree.
Uh-huh. Oh, I think I can picture it.
Yeah.
Oh,
Merry
that's
Christmas.
It's Merry Christmas. By the way, Josh. Yeah. And everybody else.
Huh?
It was just my birthday, and you did not say happy birthday to me, so.
Oh, happy birthday. I had no idea it was your birthday.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. There, now I said it. And it seems to have fixed everything. That was a lot easier than I was expecting.
You know, you just gotta say happy birthday to me. It was December 1st. We are recording this on December 4th, so...
Oh, today is the... Hey, today is my dad's birthday. You have to say happy birthday to my dad.
Do I? I thought you killed him. Oh, no, that was just the bit, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, but he's also dead in real life.
Oh.
So if you can show a little respect.
Well, happy birthday, sir, wherever you may be.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a lot easier because he's dead. So you can just say it to anywhere.
Yeah,
and
he might.
It might get to him. Yeah. It might not.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, happy birthday mm-hmm. to Josh's father.
Mm-hmm. Larry King.
No.
Not the famous one.
That's not his name.
But that's actually his name.
Oh, my God.
That's actually his name.
Oh, man. Like.
Yeah, he had his private pilot's license, and he once told me a story of how he had a passenger or he made friends with, and they shared a two-seater airplane to another airport one time, and his name was Tom Cruise.
Wow.
Not the Tom Cruise.
Not the Tom Cruise, but yeah.
But once upon a time, yeah. Larry King and
Tom Cruise flew in a plane.
Flew
together.
A little airplane somewhere in America.
A magical moment. Wow. I think they call yeah. that serendipity.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like we were talking about other things.
Yeah. We were saying how we didn't have our usual banter, but I think we just did. So now I think we're ready to
yeah.
start with the...
There we go.
Yeah,
you're welcome. It's... I'm warmed up. I'm primed.
Yeah.
I'm prepped.
Oh. Oh. Josh is drinking wine out of a fancy
I'm
wine.
Feeling spicy.
Oh. And coffee? What is happening?
And coffee.
What is this
well,
combo?
It's decaf,
okay.
So it doesn't count.
But still.
But I love having multiple beverages available really at any given point.
Do you have another one? Oh, yes, he does. Is that water? And it's fancy water. Sir?
That one's just water, yeah.
Where's your $500 hat? I feel like you should be wearing it when you drink that fancy water.
Don't make me get the $500 hat. I will. This one's Gatorade, though.
Oh, my God. It just looks like mouthwash. You are surrounded by beverages.
It does kind of look... It tastes a lot better than mouthwash. I can't drink this because this shit got skunky as hell. And I actually messaged the makers of it, you know, the bottling manufacturer, and they're going to send me a few free ones because the last several packages of it that I've bought have been skunky as fuck.
Wow, you're that guy.
And so, yeah, I gotta take back all that positive reinforcement I've given them online for free for a couple of years now.
Right. At least they send you more free shit of the stuff that... Whatever. Okay. I just have my water bottle.
Yeah.
What is my purpose?
You pass butter.
Oh my God.
Glenn's bleeding to death.
Oh my God. I am like totally fine.
The squirrel's morning.
Oh my God.
Oh jeez, I'm so down. My parents divorced, dog.
What is my purpose?
God exists. It's f***ing me.
You'll love this. I call it Cheerio.
I'm sorry, I'm not a classic maternal archetype.
Love it up, yeah.
So. You wanted to do an analysis of the opening sequence of Rick and Morty.
Correct.
Because?
Just because I want to. Period.
Just because.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it'd be
and somebody
fun.
May or may not find that interesting.
Yeah. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so we both watched different episodes from season one, as we figured out earlier.
Right.
And we'll find out if there's any differences between the season one episode openings. I don't think there are.
There shouldn't be.
But it'll be funny if we run into any.
Yeah. Josh was the one who watched the season one opening credits. I mean, season one, episode one opening credits. And I watched the season one, episode 11 opening credits. So first and last.
But also it was on Hulu and sometimes
they do little edits.
They cut shit or they edit shit in weird little ways on Hulu that aren't necessarily the way it was live aired.
Correct.
So I guess we'll never really know.
And I watch mine on HBO Max because there is no Hulu in Mexico. In case you didn't know.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's fine.
Hulu, I have a combination Hulu HBO account, actually. It's limited edition. It's grandfathered in because my brother got it through his cell phone service. I'm sure this is very interesting to everyone.
So interesting. Should we begin?
So we start. Yeah. Openings frames are... we get some visuals of a sand timer, a floating disembodied eyeball, and a severed hand. It's very gruesome. It's got the bones sticking out of the wrist, and it's all claw-like and gray from necrosis. We see the equation text 3 plus 3 equals 6 float across the screen, and I'm like, wow,
so smart.
Indeed it does. That sounds like reality.
Yeah.
Cool. This show's very realistic. I love it. It's all got a very Twilight Zone, Doctor Who vibe to it.
I was going to say, it's very, very Twilight Zone. Yeah.
Yeah. Just those few frames, very Twilight Zone. But the music itself is practically ripped straight from Doctor Who.
Okay.
It's almost identical to Doctor Who.
Okay.
And they unabashedly were like, yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Mm. I mean.
Deal with it.
Yeah. This is what this
Morty,
show does.
I'm gonna need you to suck my whole ass, buddy.
Oh.
Get way up in there, buddy.
Oh, no.
Anyway, or not.
I don't know where that came from.
So.
Okay.
Coffee and booze. God. That's where it came from.
Yeah, clearly. Oh, I'm scared.
So.
Okay.
So then, there's a double ringed planet. We zoom in on it.
Right.
All the way down to the surface, and we see Rick and Morty running through a desert wasteland, or a desert anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some various skeletons laying around, and then Rick, of course, shoots a portal into the ground, jumps through it before, and it disappears before Morty can get into it. And we're left with two big green toothy creatures, and we cut away. And we don't know what Morty's fate is. And I feel like we've talked about that already a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
And it's important that this particular sequence repeats throughout every season.
Yeah, this is one
that doesn't change.
Correct. This is one of the ones that stays the same. But I just, by the way, I just caught up on Rick and Morty. So I just finished watching episode 7, which not the entire episode is out. I think they did like a little break at the middle of the episode. At the middle of the season. But I have seen it all. And I have a lot of feelings about it. But yes, can confirm, up until season 7, this opening scene is still there. Just the same.
Good, good. Yeah, I've been falling behind. I haven't been keeping up on the new episodes. But I've been getting so into just trying to get my head straight on the character tracking of who's C-137, how do we know which one is C-137. I only just recently got my head wrapped around what everyone is calling the prime dimension. We've gone back and forth on this a little bit on previous episodes, but I have it now.
Yeah.
The Cronenberg dimension is officially one and the same as the prime dimension.
Yes.
That is where Morty's biological grandfather, Rick, Prime Rick, originate from. And C-137 is not... I always thought that C-137 was where most of the show was taking place between season 2 up to season like 6.
I also thought so I saw the video that you sent me and I was like, what?
Yeah, it's actually C-131. I'm not sure where that actually gets established, but it must at some point in time because that video was officially released by Adult Swim.
Oh.
I feel like that's a reliable source.
I mean, yeah. I didn't notice it was an official Adult Swim video. So now there's no question in it. Like, period. That's
right.
C-131.
Exactly.
That's where we've been.
So
yeah.
Rick, even when they barge in on C-131, or even when they barge in on the Prime Universe, they're like, Rick C-137. They know who he is regardless of where he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great distinction to have and to know moving forward is that they don't have him confused with the Rick that died in any of those universes or is missing. They fucking know which Rick is which Rick, and there's no mincing words about that. So that makes a lot of things feel a lot clearer and easier to handle for me.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, and then we're following mainly Morty Prime, Rick C-137, and the rest of them are C-131, except for Jerry, who's about to get switched in episode 2 of season 2 at the Jerry Brewery.
Yeah.
And then we get Jerry 5126, I think.
Yes, correct.
Up until season 6, and then Jerry C-131 will die being turning the world into Mr. Frundles.
Oh my god, that's right. I'm Mr. Frundles.
So we get him back for Mr. Frundles. Yeah, we get him back for just a moment and then he gets bitten on the leg and he's so funny. He's just as stupid as he was when he left. And we see for a brief moment all of this character development that Jerry has done over the last 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And I think it's a genius moment. But getting way, way, way the fuck ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah.
So back
to the opening credits.
I'm excited.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm?
No. Say it.
Okay. I'm excited that I feel like I finally got a grasp on this. Now the next main thing that I really need to get a grasp on is what the fuck went down with between Prime Rick and Rick C-137.
Well, you have to see
even with that timeline, it seems to give the impression that Rick C-137 goes and kills Prime Rick and then takes his place. And that's why the show starts off with Beth saying, you've been gone for 20 years, but now you're back. But that still doesn't explain to me how he has memories of a Morty, because Morty was never born in C-137 dimension because his Diane and child Beth were killed. Mm-hmm. So I'm still very confused about all that. And I think the answers are out there, and I just...
The answers are out there. I know the answers. I know the answers because the answers are in season 7. I won't say anything, but...
They're in season 6. Okay, but that you don't get the answers before season 6. Or in season 6.
I don't...
I've only seen season 6 once. So I'm a little fuzzy on all that.
Because I watched season 6 and season 7. Because I needed like a reminder from season 6. So now it's a little bit jumbled. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which is where. But on season 7, I'm pretty sure we get a lot of answers of like the conflict between Rick C-137 and Prime Rick. And Evil Morty.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. Good. I'm enjoying the journey of going from a casual Rick and Morty viewer to actually knowing what the fuck is going on and being able to explain it.
Yeah.
Because I've done a lot of talking about Rick and Morty for the last, I don't know, 10 years. And I can't believe that I was able to say as much about it as I did without knowing jack shit. So it's going to be so much more fun to talk about, actually, you know, being able to be like, well, if you reference this episode.
Yeah. People
are going to be like,
we get to become real Rick and Morty assholes. Like, for real. That's the goal.
Yes. We're going to be Rick and Morty elitists. And if you follow along with us, you can be too.
For the low price of free 99, because podcasts are free. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. Join our Patreon. You know you want
to. We'll talk about the details at the end. Stay tuned. Okay. Are you ready to get into the next scene?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay. It's like really quick. So after... after we saw Morty almost being eaten by the big green toothy monsters, we cut to Jerry stepping out of a police car and shotgunning a mutant praying mantis monster, or Cronenberg. I don't know if he's already... I think he was still praying mantis before becoming Cronenberg.
Yeah, they were just mantis men at that point. They turn into Cronenberg creatures
which
later.
Which is a reference, a scene that we have already seen in season 1, episode 6, Rick Potion number 9.
Yes.
And that's the whole bit.
That is correct.
And then we cut to the next thing.
Yeah. And so I noticed a pattern here. So the first scene we've never seen in an episode, only in the opening sequence. The second scene with the mantis, Jerry shooting the mantis men, used. Mm-hmm. We know exactly which episode and which scene. And this pattern repeats throughout. It alternates back and forth. Number 3, again, is going to be unused, and it will continue that pattern, unused, used, unused, used, unused.
Oh, okay, good. Till
the very end. So, it's like they knew what they were doing. It seems unlikely that they did that by accident.
Yeah, no, that's so, number three, pattern. So, what happens number 3? And I always had a feeling that this next scene had happened, but no. Like, I always thought that I had seen it in an actual episode, but no. This is, like you said, this is one that we haven't seen, and I don't think we will ever see in an episode.
It is definitely not in an episode, but it's easy to confabulate memories like that sometimes. Like, that's actually the meaning of that word, is to remember something, to think that you remember something that didn't actually happen. So this scene is Morty walks into his bedroom and Jerry is in there with another Morty, and suddenly that Morty's face falls off, revealing that he's an android. Jerry freaks out. Rick runs in and grabs real Morty.
Yeah.
As far as we know, this real Morty, and pulls him back out of the room, and he looks like he doesn't know what the fuck's going on. He looks shocked and confused. And this, maybe this showed up in Morty's Mind Blowers. No, it didn't. But it's the kind of thing that would show up in Morty's Mind Blowers.
Yeah, it's just a snippet. And I love this one because I feel like it tells a whole entire story in just like 3 seconds. Like, clearly you can deduce that for some reason, Rick had put some Android Morty version to replace him so that his parents wouldn't realize that he was gone on some adventure with Rick. But then they come back and, like, Morty walks into his room while Android Morty is there. Like, Jerry, just how he reacts to his face falling off is hilarious. And Morty's like, what the fuck? And Rick is just like, and like, come over here.
Nope, you weren't supposed to see that.
Yeah,
it's good. There's a lot to unpack in a very short amount of time. Exactly. It's just one of those, is it canon, is it not? We'll never know. It just goes to show how much brainstorming they sit around and do. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell. I wonder, did they come up with this opening sequence and then decide to make episodes around them?
That would be so much fun.
That. Are there missing episodes that never got aired because they got scrapped before they were finished?
That would
like
be
maybe
so
this
fun.
Was from an episode.
Yeah.
And we'll just never see the whole thing because it never got finished, but there was more to see. We don't know.
Another thing that just occurred
that'd be
to
a great
me
thing.
Is that this, well, the ones that we haven't seen on episodes might be from other dimensions. Like, who says that these are all from, like, the same Rick and Morty that we follow through the show, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Could be.
Yeah, that was something I was going to touch on later as well. But now's as good a time as any. I was spending like the last hour before we started recording trying to find a thread on Reddit that I had seen a couple months ago. Oh. And I cannot for the life of me find it again. It was sent, but I think I debunked it in my attempts to find it anyway. Because the theory went something like, you can tell which Ricks and Mortys that we're following are either the main Rick and Morty, being C-137 and Prime Morty, or an alternate Rick and Morty, and they're just coquettishly not telling us. Hmm. And the theory was you could tell by the title of the episode if they use Rick or Morty's name as part of the title, then that means that they are canonically C-137 and Rick and Morty Prime.
Okay.
But after finding a few posts that go ahead and just list all of the movie references to the or one of them listed whether or not we know in that episode if it's Rick C-137 or not, right next to the title episode. And I very quickly debunked. I was like, okay, well, that one doesn't have Rick's name in it, but we do know that it's Rick C-137 if that Reddit poster is to be trusted.
Right.
We all know Reddit is the height of...
That's where I get all my references for my important
academic exactly.
papers.
It's,
so.
It's even better than Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but... If it's Rick and Morty anyway, we're not writing a thesis paper to get our PhD. It's fine.
Yet.
yet, exactly. I bet somebody out there is actually doing that right now.
Somebody must be doing that or have done
that. I was going to say it's probably Dan Harmon, but what the fuck does he need a PhD for? He's wildly successful beyond everyone's fantasies and dreams. He's good to go. He's set. It's like the level of fame and success that you regret at this point. It's like, oh, I can't go anywhere now.
Too much, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like Jim Carrey. Like Jim Carrey's just fucked now in the head. I think the best quote I've seen from him recently was, I wish everybody could get rich and famous so that they could see that that's not the answer. And of all the crazy shit that he's spouted off over the last few years since he lost his fucking mind... Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the most lucid thing that's come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
I'm fine with being...
Nobody.
Not really famous at all, but having an online presence.
Yeah.
And occasionally somebody gets starstruck because they're like, oh, I've heard your podcast. Oh, you're so famous. I'm like, no, there's a big difference between being famous and you recognizing me from the internet.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
So number four, scene number four from the opening sequence. Rick gets attacked by Jerry, Beth, and Summer while Morty is standing back watching in horror. And this one was in fact used on season one, episode five, the very beginning of Me Seeks and Destroy.
Yeah.
And back in that episode, I already went off on a whole tangent about how I always zoned out during the beginning of that episode and I never really absorbed that. Like, I remember everything about the Me Seeks and about the stupid fucking jelly bean character.
Yeah.
And their little Fantasyland giant world.
Yeah.
Saving the village adventure and going to the bar in the steps. That's all very memorable. But this little tidbit of an opening sequence.
Yeah.
I never absorbed it until I had to take notes on it to do a podcast.
Correct.
So
we cut to the Smiths are in distress in their... Oh, God, this one. So we see the Smiths in distress in their dining room, which is covered in green goo. Mm-hmm. Kind of looks like ectoplasm. And Morty and Summer are holding ray guns-looking guns, while Rick delivers a baby from Jerry, and Beth is holding his hand. Well, we don't know if it's a baby that he's delivering, but Jerry appears to be pregnant and Rick is just under there trying to get whatever is in him out. How? I don't know.
He's reaching way up into Jerry's vagina right there.
Yeah, what?
Which, I mean, I don't know how you deliver a baby from a man. I mean, they covered that in the Arnold Schwarzenegger film Junior.
Okay.
You don't. You do a C-section. That's how you deliver a baby from a man.
Maybe they.
But it's very possible, since there are infinite possible universes.
Yeah.
That this is one where maybe everyone's gender swapped, or maybe just Jerry happens to biologically be a woman.
Yeah. In this universe. Or maybe they all have both genitalia. You know, at the same time.
There you go.
Everything can happen.
Yeah. If we can have pizza chairs and human phones, then I think we can have hermaphrodite everyone.
Yeah, Jerry can have
universe.
A vagina.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So after that, harrowing scene. And that one never appears anywhere.
Which doesn't get used.
Yeah, doesn't get used. We cut to another one that did get used, which is when Hepatitis C Monster is roaring at Morty and Anna from season one, episode three, Anatomy Park. And it's a really quick one, but we all know who that is. That's Hepatitis C for sure.
Yep, that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, that one gets used. Not much to say about that. Anatomy Park, everybody remembers Anatomy Park.
Yeah.
So the last one, closing out the opening sequence, we've got a big winged Cthulhu-looking motherfucker flying after, chasing Rick and Morty and Summer in their ship through the sky.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly where they are. Summer sits in the middle in the back seat holding a little baby Cthulhu. And it zooms in on Cthulhu's mouth and his big swirling mouth of teeth. And then Rick and Morty, boom. That's the end of the episode. Or that's the end of the opening sequence. So this, obviously, we never see in any episodes. There is one episode that I don't recall off the top of my head, but I read about it. I want to say it's in season 5 or 6. Where Rick shoots a portal and a Cthulhu-type creature bursts through it and he, like, closes the portal and he's like, oh, that happens sometimes. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's... that totally explains the opening sequence. Now we don't need an episode about it. And I'm like, bullshit, yes, we do. I want everything.
I want more.
Give me all the details. Everything. Exactly. Which But apparently, also, they're not going to do that because there's a comic book.
Yeah.
Now I got cats trying to break down my door, too.
Dude, stop it.
Oh, my God.
The cat's attack.
There's a comic book. Yeah. There's a comic book that does a whole episode, if you will, about Cthulhu.
Okay.
Where we do see the whole thing. And I haven't read it. I didn't read all about it. But if that's something you're interested in seeing, go find it. And I might do that at some point as well.
It's a Rick and Morty comic book?
Yeah.
About mm-hmm. this guy. Okay.
Yep. That fills in gaps and extends the plot. I'm not sure entirely, so I'm not going to talk too much about it.
Okay.
For those reasons, we can probably expect that they will never do a full episode about this Cthulhu part of the opening sequence. But my favorite theory about this part, much like the beginning of the episode, is it's very telling about what's going on with the characters in the series. And I like to think of it as a metaphor. They talk about this on Film Theorist. I believe the guy's name is Matt Pat, or it's his online handle or whatever. He goes on at length in an episode called of Film Theory called Rick's True Crime Exposed.
Okay.
And he released this years ago, I want to say 6 or 7 years ago, while we were all still waiting for season 3 to come out with Aww. Bated breath, after Rick had been imprisoned after he gets caught at Bird Person's wedding with Tammy. Right. And Tammy turns out to be a Galactic Federation spy. So if we think of Cthulhu as a metaphor, because Cthulhu is one of his titles is Destroyer of Worlds. And he's chasing after a small member of his family. It seems very obvious that this is probably like his child that he's chasing after. Otherwise, why would he be so pissed off? I don't know. I was babysitting him. You can't take him. I won't get paid. I don't know. No, it's very probably his child. I don't know why in God's name they'd be stealing Cthulhu's child. Seems like a bad idea, but I'm sure they had their reasons. So, coming back to the metaphor, Rick is also arguably known as Destroyer of Worlds. We, even just at the end of season 2, we know him to have destroyed at least one world, and there's mounting other bits of evidence that it wasn't his first time.
Right.
Because, so, we know Rick, when him and Morty first go to the Citadel of Rick's, he goes on about how he has a lot of enemies. Wherever you find people with heads up their asses. And then up in season 2 later, well, I'm just going to jump forward because it's pertinent information. Bird Person reveals a little too much about their past to Beth. Specifically, the quote is, "The road your father and I have walked together is soaked in the blood of both friends and enemies."
Uh-huh.
Beth's hilarious in that episode. She's like, "Must be nice." And the same episode, we find out Tammy's an undercover agent for the Galactic Federation, and that she only hooked up with Bird Person at the end of season 1, episode 11, just to get close to Bird Person and Rick and Squanchy and a whole inner ring of whom they refer to as intergalactic terrorists.
Yeah.
And we, of course, find out all that backstory later in season 6 that is very fuzzy to me. I'm not going to even try to talk about it. And also at the end of season 2, when he gets imprisoned, the dude next to him goes, "So what are you in for?" And he says, "Everything." And Matt Pat from Film Theory goes on to explain that he doesn't think that he's being dismissive here. He thinks he's quite literally in for everything, in the sense of destroying entire fucking worlds and entire systems of laws. And the biggest point of evidence that we have for that is, I think it was, I forget exactly which episode it was, but it's when they Cronenberg the entire world of the Prime Dimension and move over to C-131. They very obviously essentially murdered an entire planet of Earth.
Correct.
And then Rick just is like, yeah, we'll just bury our own bodies and take their places in a different dimension and we're all good. And, you know, Morty's freaking out over there and Rick is pretty nonchalant. Like, he freaks out in a sense just to calm down Morty. But when he's burying his own body, he's glazed over. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So how many times has he done this?
Yeah, he's done that before.
Or he's definitely done this before. Like, this was his super back burner backup if everything else fails plan. He's like, oh, I don't want to, but I guess I can do this again.
Yeah.
But okay, so other evidence that's not exactly definitive, but contributes here to this idea that he's destroyed a lot of worlds.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened still at the beginning of the pilot episode after the neutrino bomb is armed.
Right.
Are we supposed to believe that this very early, young, naive Morty was able to...
No.
defuse that bomb?
I think they're garbage.
Yeah, it seems more and more likely, the more I think about it, like, they were just fucking around with timelines and...
Yeah.
From the very beginning. They're fucking with our heads. That was not C-137 in Prime. That was a completely different scenario. And that's just how the show starts. Because we come back and everything's fine. They say nothing of the neutrino bomb. Really, the only good explanation for how that is because it's a different fucking universe.
Yes. You know, when the show tells you what it is, believe it.
But now that I think of it, that's actually not evidence against C-137, because that wouldn't have been C-137 who destroyed that world with the neutrino bomb.
No. That's right. But, you know.
But he's capable of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's something.
I believe Bird Person can arrange that.
Go have some fun out there, Bird Person.
It's unwise of me to share these details, but I've become inebriated. They are designed to attract the attention of the female.
It's working.
In bird culture, this is considered a dick move.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got. So I think the Cthulhu is a pretty clear metaphor for Rick being a destroyer of worlds.
Okay.
And that's why they never feel the need to use that scene in episode, but they do feel the need to keep using it throughout seasons of the opening sequence.
Yeah, that's basically the only other scene. So essentially, the first scene and this last scene. So the first scene, the one where Morty almost gets eaten by the big green toothy monster, and this one where they're all getting chased by the Cthulhu monster, both of those always stay on the opening credits throughout the whole show, throughout all the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what do you think about the green toothy monsters? Let's assume that they eat that Morty.
Yeah.
And let's assume that that is C-137. So what's the logical conclusion to deduce from that? That's obviously not Prime Morty.
Correct.
Oh my God, I just realized Prime Morty, primordial.
Wow.
That's a fun play on words.
Yeah.
Which Morty would have been C-137? No, but there isn't a C-137 Morty. That's the whole point, is because C-137's Morty, or Beth and Diane, are dead, so Morty could never be born. So I'm still trying to figure out where the fuck did he raise a baby Morty before he came to C-131. Or to Prime Dimension.
I mean, it must have been and then some C-131. Other dimension. Also, I just realized something, that I feel like because this Rick didn't have a Morty of his own, because Diane and Beth were killed.
Yeah.
I think that's why he thought that he could go to Prime Morty's universe and attach himself to Morty, because he was like, I don't have like an emotional connection to Morty because I don't have a Morty. So maybe he thought it would be easier for him to like use Morty because he didn't have that emotional connection. But throughout the show, we see that he kind of forms that emotional connection. The more he, like, even though he tries not to attach himself to him, and he's always saying that he doesn't care about family, he has other ones, and there's infinite dimensions, and he doesn't really care. I feel like
mm-hmm.
he does care. He ends up caring more than he thought he would about this.
He does end up caring
about this particular Morty. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's because he loses his original Morty, but it's not his biological Morty. But his original Morty is the one that dies in the opening sequence, probably, maybe.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the Prime Universe because he does have that attachment to Morty, but it's this dysfunctional attachment where he's mad at himself and he takes it out on Morty.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that kind of like...
So I'm just still trying to figure out...
I feel like it stems a little bit from jealousy. Like, he might be jealous of these other versions of Rick's and other universes that...
Definitely.
They didn't get their daughter killed, probably their wife either.
Yeah.
And thus they had the Smith family happened and Morty's blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And like, he didn't get that.
And he's mad at Prime Rick because it seems like Prime Rick just jumped in there and murdered Diane and Beth and tried to murder Rick. And I think it was canonically because Rick C-137 refused his technology offer of the portal gun. But then he independently creates his own portal gun technology afterwards to get revenge on Prime Rick. Honestly, anyone, please feel free to set the record straight if we're not getting this right. Because it takes a lot of time to binge this series
and
to try and pick apart all the little plot nuances. And I have a full-time job. This is a hobby. Like, we're trying to turn this into a career so that I don't have to be at my full-time job forever. And whatever your reasons are, I imagine are similar. living the dream, pushing that hustle, that side hustle. Here we are.
Yep.
But yeah, nevertheless, we want to be interactive. We want input. And
we
know we don't know everything. But that's the point of this podcast. We're just having a fun journey, figuring shit out. And if you're like us, we want you to join along with us.
Yeah. And this is not only a two-way conversation between Josh and I. We would like this to be a three-way conversation, a threesome, if you will, between us and you guys, the audience, whoever listens, whoever wants to participate in the conversation. Say their piece, say their theories. That's why we have lots of platforms for that. And you can communicate with us through them. And yeah, we like invite you all to disagree with us and tell us why and like stuff like that.
Damn right. We even have a phone number that you can give us a call if you want at 269-743-0783.
Okay, anything else? Should we wrap this up? We're nearing an hour. And this is supposed to be short.
I think we should wrap this up. I'm good. Yeah, why don't you tell us...
Okay.
Give us all our pluggables.
All right. You can contact us. We have social media. We have Instagram, wubbalubbapodpod. Twitter/X, wubbapodpod, I think. Or wubbalubbapod. I always get that one wrong. We now have Threads.
Yeah.
We have Threads at wubbalubbapod.
Which I didn't know existed.
Yeah, now you know.
Until now. So cool.
We also have TikTok, wubbalubbapodpod, Twitch, twitch.tv/wubbalubbapodpod, and any other social media? I think that's all. I mean, we're on YouTube.
That's all the important ones.
Yeah. YouTube.com/wubbalubbapodpod. We usually upload the recordings of the episodes there, raw, unedited. And we also have a Patreon. Patreon.com/wubbalubbapodpod, where you can support us financially if you wish to do so for whatever reason. Maybe you're like a very generous, compassionate soul that wants to see Josh and I thrive and make our dreams come true. And if that sounds like you, we do offer three tiers on Patreon. The first tier, you would become a Morty for only $1 a month. That gets you early access to video version of the podcast episodes, live stream reminder, and... Oh, that's it. That's it. And, you know, just access to whatever content we put on Patreon, right? And then for the second tier, you would become a rake for only $3 a month. You also get the early access to video versions of the podcast, the live stream reminder, but you also get 10% off the merch, because we do have merch. I'll tell you where later. So our third tier, you would be the rickest rake for $5 a month. You also get early access to video version of the podcast, live stream reminder, and you get 15% off the merch and a Rick and Morty smartphone background created and designed by me, Alex. Yay! So yeah, you can get the merch at beerwithbuffy.com/shop. Is that correct?
Yep.
Did I do it? Okay. Because Beer with Buffy is our sister podcast, I am a fan of the podcast. Listen to it if you haven't. You should. It's great. And then, oh, we do have a website page. Wubba Lubba Pod. Okay, I think I'm out. You should do the rest. Wubba Lubba Pod. You tell them about the website.
Yeah, wubbalubbapod.com. I also own wubbalubbapodpod.com, but I had a little trouble getting both of them to work at the same time. So just do Wubba Lubba Pod and it'll be okay.
Yeah, it's great.
That's it.
Okay. But where can they listen to the podcast?
Oh, yeah. The best places to find our podcast are going to be iTunes, Spotify. Podbean is our main host. That's actually the best place for you to find our podcast. It's going to be the most accurate and not be using a third-party RSS feed. But everything else works anyway. All your favorite podcast platforms, we're on all of them, pretty much. The ones that we're not on don't matter. Fuck them. Yeah. We're even on iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite podcasts are on iHeartRadio.
We're on Amazon Music, and I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think we are. Yeah. It's another free podcast platform. There it is.
Yeah.
Big shout out to, I think it was Benjamin Alexander for all of our opening, closing, and transitional music. If you ever want to, did you give our email?
Oh, all that? Our email is wubbalubbapodpod@gmail.com. Send us any feedback.
There it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Questions, comments, concerns, etc. I already gave you our phone number, but I'll give it to you one more time. You can always text us or leave us a voicemail at 269-743-0783. I think that's it.
We did it.
This has been Wubba Lubba Pod Pod.
I'm Alex.
I'm Josh.
Hey.
Yeah. I almost forgot to say that part. Hey.
Hey.
Wow. This is a good episode.
Fun.
Consummate professionals, both of us.
This is the first time that I got my really bad allergies in the middle of the episode, and I can't believe I survived. It was gross, but
I make allowances for your young man to accept the amount of responsibility, and instead of which you enslave yourself to this cult.
We're done. Bye.
You don't like the color?
You have a sacred birthright. You were chosen to destroy vampires, not to wave pom-poms at people.
Why can't you people just leave me alone?
You are the Slayer.
Go ahead. Prepare me.
I'm a watcher. I haven't the skill.
Oh, come on.
By appealing to your common sense. Common sense. Common sense.
Wait, what have we done? Why are we watching this?